All right, so we're going to try that.
Three topics today. First one is going to be Din Safon, which comes up on Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. And then we'll talk about Kaparas Ola, which comes up on Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph to Lamed Vav Amud Beis. And then we'll talk about the Vidui and the difference seemingly between different Viduyim, which comes up on Lamed Vav Amud Beis. So you have a Machlokas here on Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. What are the parameters of Tzafon in the Azara? The Torah tells us in the context of a sheep or a goat, which is brought as a carbon ola, that it must be shechted in the northern half of the chatzer, the Tzafon. And the darshan out that applies to all kadshei kadashim. So if you have kachum kalim, you have carbon shlamim, carbon pesach, can be shechted anywhere in the Azara. But if you have kadshei kadashim, they must be shechted in the Tzafon. Right, and then we have this machlokas here in the Gemara, is the Tzafon just going east to west, right? Because the Heichal is on the westernmost part, closest to the coast of Hamaravi, while the Mizbeach is farther to the east. So one option we have is it's only the immediate band, which is parallel to the Mizbeach, that part of the north is the Tzafon. The second view we have is that it's extending from the Mizbeach all the way westwards towards the Heichal. Then the third view, the simplest view, the entire Azara. If you're in the Azara and you're north of the 50-yard line, that is called Tzafon. So before we get to discuss this Machlokas Tanaim here in the Gemara, the immediate Chakira we would want to ask about this Halacha, that Kadshei Kadashim must be Shechted in Tzafon, is whether the requirement for Tzafon is Tzafon has more Kedusha. Kadshei Kadashim is holier than Kadshei Kalim. The Tzafon is holier than the other half of the Azara, and that's what requires Shechita in that specific location. Then we need to explain what exactly makes the Tzafon holier than the Darim. Sounds like they're basically the same. So that's one basic option. The other option is that this is just a Kviyas Makom, the Torah says, for whatever reason. No, the place where Yeshachta Chagadashim is in the north. So does this reflect the difference in Kedusha and the Azara? Or do we say the Azara all has one level of Kedusha, and just for whatever reason, the Torah specifies Shechta Kadshei Kadashim, you know, it's reserved to be in the Tzafon. Somebody has a Makom Kavua and Shul. He may disagree, but his Makom Kavua doesn't have any more Kedusha than any other Makom and Shul, but it's a thing to do. Okay, we're Kovei and Makomos for different things. The place to do the Kadshei Kadashim is in the north. Those are the two basic options. When we learned Menachos in Gush many years ago already, so Rav Dani Wolf, who was giving Chaburas there, referenced this footnote in the Knesset HaRishonim to Menachos, which the Knesset HaRishonim in Zvachim was done by Rav Mordechai Ilan, his son Rav Yaakov David Ilan, who is the best of all the footnoters. So he put out the Knesset HaRishonim to Menachos, Temura, and Me'ila, where he collects just different Rishonim on the daf. Extremely important. When you learn Menachos, you weren't here. We learned Menachos a couple years ago. We used it pretty regularly. So he has a fantastic footnote where he brings this Chakira, and he quotes a few Nafkamina. So we'll begin with some of the ones that he quotes, and then we'll bring a couple of others and try to build this out. The first piece he cites, the clearest, cleanest Nafkamina, that's whether there is a... Well, first, when you get to there, he points out there's a Rashi in Zvachim on Nun Hei Amid Beis, and there's a Machlokas what the Girsa is in the Rashi. The way we have the Girsa, Rashi could not be clear. Rashi says, it was that Lashon, my Kedusha say, Tzafon Midarum. There is no more Kedusha in the north than there is in the south. Ella Dekvias Makam Ba'almahu. It's just the place where the Torah says, Teshachtekat Shekadashim. The Girsa as is, black and white. The Rashi is telling us that it's just the reserved location for the Kadshei Kadashim. There is no enhanced Kedusha. He says, though, if you look at some of the Achronim, they're on Rashi, so there are other Girsos floating around where Rashi may not be so explicit. But he quotes Rav Michal Feinstein, who points out that there is a machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos on the most obvious nafkamina you could think of regarding this question. Right? If I think that the Din Safon reflects the Kedusha of that part of the Azara, so I would think, what if I could find a different place in the Beis HaMikdash which has equal or greater Kedusha than the Tzafon? That should be the best laboratory case. And the case we can come up with, we've discussed already earlier this year, would be if you shecht in the Heichal. Right? If I shecht, if Tzafon is a din in Kedusha, then if we say, well, the Darm doesn't have enough Kedusha, but the Tzafon does, then Kol Shekein, if someone shechts in the Heichal itself, that should be acceptable. We've seen the Rambam, who was not such a fan of shechting in the Heichal, but that was because...
Only the northern half of the Heichal.
Well,
the question
you could ask that. I'm not so sure you would say that. If it's just a din in kedusha, does it make sense to say that the southern half of the heichal has less kedusha than the northern half of the azara? I don't think it makes sense to say that at all. So if Rav Michal Feinstein quotes Machlokas in Rashi and Zvachim Daf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph, who says that no, the heichal is not going to work, and the Balei Tosos says absolutely, yes, it does. It's a kol shekein. Tosos and Samach Gimel and Aleph and Zachem says that you can shecht kat shekadashim in the heichal. Rashi on Yedal and Aleph does not. So if we think that Safan is just the din of kviyas makam ba'alma, Tzara said the place of shecht kat shekadashim is in the north of the Azara. It doesn't have any more or less kedusha than the south, so it doesn't have any more or less kedusha than the heichal. The place that's reserved for shechita is the north. And anything else is going to be possible. That seems to be the view of Rashi on Yudal and Aleph, reflected by the Gersa we have in our Gemaras on Nun Hey and Beis. But if you think that, no, it's a din in Kedusha, so then Kol Shekin, the Heichal, is going to be acceptable, which is exactly the argument that the Balei Tosos makes. That's the most obvious nafkamina. He has a couple of other ones. One I did not really understand at all. He says one nafkamina would be Para Aduma. The Gemara at the very beginning of Yuma, Daf Beis and Aleph, talks about Para Aduma in the Tzafon. This is where he writes it in the piece. He says, Para Aduma in the Tzafon. So that's great. It's a great raya that it's Kviyas Makam Ba'alma, because the Kedusha is not relevant to the Para Aduma. So I thought, that's interesting. But I was trying to think, what exactly do we do for the Para Aduma in the Tzafon? We don't shach the Para Aduma in the Tzafon of the Azara. So what he seems to be talking about, and I really don't understand his proof at all, what we seem to be talking about is the Gemara on Beis Amud Aleph says when they were mafresh the Kohen, right? So we talked, they'd mafresh the Kohen Gadol for Yom Kippur, and they would separate the Kohen who's doing the Para Aduma. So he specifically, what was the Lishkas, what was it called? Lishkas Beis Evan or something? Lishkas Beis HaEven, yeah, Lishkas Beis HaEven, which was specifically in the north, specifically in the northern part of the Azara. So the Gemara there says, why was it in the north? It's a hacker to remind you that this is a chatas. Okay, but if it's just there as a hacker to remind you this is a chatas, so they separated the guy in the northern half of the Azara. Is that enough to tell you? I'm not so sure at all that's the world's most convincing Right, I want people to know that the Paraduma has a din of chatas, at least in some regards. So we separate the Kohen who's doing it in the place where chatos are shechted. Rabbi Lan suggests that this demonstrates that the tzafan is just a kviyas makam ba'alma, has nothing to do with kedusha. I'm not so sure it's such an ironclad proof, but that's one that he puts out there. One more he suggests, which I think there is on
maybe,
firmer
maybe
ground.
He doesn't mean it as a proof. Maybe he means it as an example of seeing how tzafon is used as a kviyas makom. So you see over there that that's really all just about a kviyas makom to make a heker. So you see, there's such a thing as tzafon being a kviyas makom.
It could be, but once you're saying that it's just it's a heker, so everyone knows, chatos are always shacht in the north because it has superior kedusha. So they see the Kohen is being dafka separated in the northern half of the Azara. Oh, Chatas is the north because of the Kedusha. I see the Kohen be makbid and going to the north. That reminds me that this has a din of Chatas. We're only makbid on Tzafon for Kadshei Kadashim. So I don't appreciate Limitz Chas because I love Rav Ilan.
Because he's just trying to say, don't tell me there's no where that you find Tzafon having nothing to do with Kedusha. Here's an example. Here's an example of Tzafon being used in a non-Kedusha context. So you see that for those who go with that Rashi, you have such an example.
Yeah, could be depending on how, if you think of the heker very balabatishly, then it doesn't work. But at minimum, it holds up less the way he writes it in the piece than when you look up in the Gemara, because he doesn't mention heker in the piece. But okay, new. So one other one, I really should put this on the Marmakomos, but I didn't know about it until I saw the piece. The Gemara, the very beginning of Me'ilah, like literally the first daf in Me'ilah, has a fascinating discussion. Kadshe Kadashim, which are shechted in the Darum. So that was a mistake. You're supposed to shecht them in the Tzafon. That's a psul. You shecht them in the Darum. So the Gemara there says that if you do so anyway, there is Me'ilah. Me'ilah still holds. The Gemara explains, what's the chiddush over here? So the Gemara says, you might have thought that this would be like Kadshim Shemesu. Kadshim Shemesu, if the Kadshim just dies, there is no Me'ilah. And the Gemara explains that you would have thought that if you shacht it in the Darum, kama dechinkum dami, it would be considered as if you had strangled them. which is absolutely fantastic. I don't know why people don't quote this Gemara more in the context of Shechitas Kachim and Shechitas Chulin. But that's the Gemara over there. This Havamina, you would have thought that Shechita Bedarum is like being strangled. It doesn't even have a din Shechita. You would have a Havamina that it's like Kachim Shemesu. But at least from the beginning of the Gemara, it seems like that's been rejected, and really it does have a din of Shechita. But then the Gemara brings the core of the Havamina back to life. Because the Gemara asks, okay, so you've Shechted Bedarum. You aren't supposed to bring this up to the Mizbeach now. It's Psulei HaMikdashin. But do we say Im Alu Yardu, or do we say Im Alu Lo Yardu? What happens if you actually, B'dyeved, brought the Kachim up to the Mizbeach? Would you take it down or not? And the Gemara brings Machlokas between Rav Yosef versus, I'm not sure the other Amora was. One view was, yes, Im Alu Yardu, because it really is kema dechinkum dami. It's as if it was strangled. It never had a shechita for shechted bedarum. The other few says, what do you mean? It was shechted. You didn't do what you were supposed to do, but there was a shechitas kachim here. So bedyevet, you bring it on the mizbeach, it is going to be offered. So the Bali Atosis is a long piece where they try to explain the view that it's kema dechinkum dami. After all, the Gemara just said it wasn't Kamidachinkum Dami. And it's a bit of an extreme Havamina, or extreme view, really, because it's Shechted in the wrong place, it's as if it was strangled. It wasn't Shechted at all. Smaitos explains the view that thinks that Im Alu Yardu says that this is similar to Shchutei Chutz. Shchutei Chutz, in Achinami, you did a valid Maisa Shechita, but Shchutei Chutz, the halacha is Im Alu Yardu. So says the same thing is going to be true over here for this Manda Amar, that Shechitas Darm is Alu Yardu, it is similar to Shechutei Chutz. So Bilan suggests that if we're comparing this to Shechutei Chutz, that makes a lot more sense if we're focused on this being a din in the Kviyas Makom. There is a place where you Shecht Kachim, that's Bifnim. There's a place where you don't Shecht Kachim, that's Bachutz. Similarly, if it comes to Shechitas Kachim Kadashim, you have a place where you Shecht it, that's B'tzafon. If you're not in the realm of the Tzafon, that is going to be comparable to Shechutei Chutz. That's the suggestion he makes for explaining this.
You think that's such a good nafgamina?
Because you're going to say Shechutei Chutz itself is a problem because it was shechted in a place of lesser kedusha.
You could argue that the same way that we said just b'derech mashal that vis-a-vis the Kohen Gadol, a Kohen Hedyot is like a zar. It's like a zar on Yom Kippur. So vis-a-vis the kedusha of the Tzafon, the Darom, it's Kila Chutz Dami.
I mean, you're saying this is similar to what I'm saying. I don't know. I'm not sure. Right, he's writing this idea that, well, if it's because we're like struck. The thing is that what has Tosos really added with the Dimon to Shechutei Chutz? Right, Tosos could have easily said, well, there's more kedusha in the Tzafon than there is in the Darum. How have we helped things?
Because he wants to understand why it's really a psul be'etzim. To the extent that it's Malu Yeridu, that's why it has to be a fundamental psul.
Yeah, so he'll say that only really makes sense if you draw this very bold demarcation between the places. Okay, Yeshel Fakfeg. I think that one is on stronger grounds than the Paraduma one, but definitely the one from Rav Michel is the strongest one so far. So just a couple other ones that he did not mention, but I think also makes sense. The Taras Kohanim, where it discusses the din to shach and the tafon, so that's usually a good place to look. So I quote a couple of interesting things. One is also a Gemara in Menachos. I didn't write down the daf, but there's a havmina from Elazar ben Yaakov. And what do you guys think of the havmina here? I'll just quote the lashon to the Taras Kohanim. Taras Kohanim says, "Oso betzafon," right, meaning the ola kachak kadashim, "ve'in ha'pesach betzafon." Okay, "valo dinu uma im ola shelo kavalo zman." Shechita kavalo makom. I type things very interestingly at 2 in the morning. Shelo kavalo zman shechita kavalo makom. Shechita sa pesach shekavalo zman shechita eino din shikva lo makom shechita. Tam lo mar osa betzafon veda pesach betzafon. And the Gemara has a similar drasha for ofos. But that havamina that, well, carbon pesach has a particular zman, So if the Karban Pesach has a particular Zman, shouldn't it follow to reason also has a particular Makom? Seems to be a much more defensible Havamina if we think that Tzafon is just a Kviyas Makom. There's no greater Kedusha to the second half of the day of Yud Dal B'Nisan, setting aside the Yontif of Yud Dal B'Nisan. There's no Kedushas Hayom of Chag Pesach. That's not what's operative over here. It's not. That's not the way the Torah's Kohanim is saying. Torah's Kohanim is saying we have a particular time for the Karban Pesach. We don't have a particular time for Shechitas Olah. So similarly, we should say we should have a particular place, particular location for the Shechit of the Pesach, just like we have a particular location for the Shechitas Olah. That seems to be the pshat of the Kal V'chomer that Rav Elazar ben Yaakov is raising. Now, of course, you could always ask, okay, well, what changes in the Maskana? When we say, Oso B'Tzafon V'na Pesach B'Tzafon, so is that just a specific Gzeres HaKasuv, that despite your very valid logic and thinking that just like the Karban Pesach is restricted in time, it should also be restricted in location. But now we have Gzeres HaKasuv, Oso, the restriction in location only applies for whatever reason, don't ask me why, to Kadshei Kadashim, or is this Oso revealing a fundamental change? And yeah, the reason why Shechitas Tzafon only applies to Kadesh Kedushin is because of the different level of Kedusha. In the Lashon itself, the Torah's Kohanim, it sounds more like we're just sticking with the assumption this is just a Kviyas Bakom Ba'alma, but in terms of the Svara, you could definitely go both ways. And last one here, before we get to the reason for Shechitas Tzafon that I want to mention, is maybe this is the Machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, there in the Torah's Kohanim, who argue about the Mizbeach itself. We talked before, Mechel quoted, for if you shecht in the Heichel, what if you shecht on the Mizbeach? So Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda there in Toskan have a Machlokes. Rabbi Yehuda, I think, is of the opinion that the entire Mizbeach is Ro'ui Lios Tzafona. And the other view is no, half and half. You split the Mizbeach down the middle. The northern half of the Mizbeach is Tzafon. The southern half of the Mizbeach is Darom. Again, what's the Machlokas over here? The Pashtus, I think, is that if we think that Tzafon is a din in Kedusha, so that Kedusha can be extended to the Mizbeach itself. While if we think that it's just a Kviyas Makom Ba'alma, so you're on one side of the 50-yard line, or you're on the other side of the 50-yard line. It doesn't really make so much sense to say that the Mizbeach itself, what, one half of the Mizbeach has different Kedusha, the other half of the Mizbeach? I don't know. And furthermore, just to confirm this, they have a parallel Machlokas about the location of the Mizbeach itself. Is the Mizbeach even with the 50-yard line? So the entire Mizbeach is Bedarum. Or do we say the Mizbeach itself straddles the 50-yard line? Half Mizbeach is in the north, and half the Mizbeach is in the south. So the view that says it's just Kviyas Makom Ba'alma says the northern half is where you shecht. And if that happens to be on the Ritzbah, wonderful. If that happens to be on the Mizbeach, wonderful. If you're on the southern half, Ritzbah no good, Mizbeach no good. The other view says, no, it's a din in Kedusha, and the Mizbeach, which is entirely on the southern side, is like an embassy of the Heichal, of the Azara, as it were, the Tzafon of the Azara, as it were. So you could shecht in the Heichal, Rav Michal, you could shecht in the Ritzbah, the Tzafon of the Azara, or you could shecht in the south if you're on Rosh Hashanah Mizbeach itself. That seems to be what's going on behind that Machlokas Tanai. Now, all of this leads to the next central question. Until now, we just had a number of nafkaminas, right? This question, okay, like in Lamdis, is the Tzafon a Kviyas Makom or is it in Kedusha? We also want to know, why exactly am I shechting in the Tzafon? And we said this view that it's Kviyas Makom Ba'alma wasn't very comforting, which randomly we choose some location, even the view that it's got more Kedusha. I understand why the Heichal has more Kedusha than the Azara. I can understand why Bein Ulam, the Mizbeach, has more Kedusha. The closer you get to the Kodesh HaKadosh, the more Kedusha you have. If you want to talk from east to west, for those of us who think spatially, I can understand more Kedusha the further west you go. But why on earth should there be more or less Kedusha north or south? North or south, what difference does it make? So you look at the Mefarshim on the Pasuk in Vayikra. The Bechor Shor and the Chizkuni give two reasons. The footnotes say, you look at the Bechor Shor, you got to look at the Chizkuni. They're very similar, but they're really not similar at all. They really say two very different things. I'm really pretty sure. The Bechor Shor says, I'll tell you why we want you to shecht in the Dar. It's a good Tzafon. Sorry, I want to shecht in the Tzafon. Thank you. It's a good open location where you have no Kohanim running around. It's Panui. There's a line in Rosh Ben Yaakov has in Zachem Nuntes. It's Panui. There's nothing going on over there. In the south, it's crowded. The Mizbeach is in the south. The Mizbeach is pretty big. The Kiyor might be in the south. The north, good, clean, open space. It's a very good place to shecht your karbanos. Now, if that's the case, this points to this being Kfiyas Makom. So if you have Kadshe Kalim, okay, so it's a lower level Kedusha, so we're with some Dochak, and you're going to find an available corner where you can jury-rig Shechita. You know, we've all had, you know, lunch on the road. It's not so pleasant sometimes, but you have to make do, you have to make do. But Kadshe Kadashim, shecht it like a mensch. Find a good spot. Revach, Benachas, no one's running around, there's no blood flying around, no Kohanim are running in your face, there's no Mizbeach, no smoke. Just find a good place for Kadshei Kadashim. It's a convenient geographical location. That is the view of the Bechor Shore. It's very nice with the view that this is Ikfias Makom Ba'alma. However, the Chazkuni says, well, if you look, Torah says the Yishachtes B'Tzafon. It doesn't just say Yishachtes B'Tzafon. It says Yishachtes B'Tzafon. Lifnei Hashem. Yeah, actually, can you open the Pasuk? I think it's Pasuk Yud Aleph, maybe, in Perek Aleph of Vayikra. I believe. It could be Yud Bezu Gimel Yud Aleph. We'll find it easily enough. There we go. Yeah. Right. V'shachar so al yarach hamizbeach tzafona lifnei Hashem. So the Chizkuni emphasizes the fact that you need to be lifnei Hashem. If you're in the Darom, you're blocked. What screens you from the Heichal? You have this gigantic mizbeach that's right there. You have all this Kohanim running around. There's all this action, all this blockage happening in the south. In the north, it's Panui. You have an easy, clean view straight to the Heichal, and that's why it is Lifnei Hashem. I think
also Mizbech is totally in south. It was half and half then.
If it's half and half, then I guess you still have much, much more. I hear you. You still have much more open space in the north because the ramp goes all the way down into the south. So, you know, it's like in Wrigley Field. You have a partially obstructed seat or a fully obstructed seat. And you still have much, much more space. And no one's running, the Kohanim aren't running around because everyone's, the ramp, all the people, it's much more crowded in the south, and the Mizbeach is obstructing significantly as well. Otherwise, you might say, well, you know, why don't you just go, you know, west of the Mizbeach, the whole place we're assuming is crowded. Fine. So if you say like that, if you say you want this unobstructed view, you want to be Lifnei Hashem, so that points to the Tzafon as being, that explains the Kedusha of the Tzafon. It also explains why the Mizbeach could be in the Darum, even though the Tzafon is more Kedusha, because it's not really the, you know, the Kedusha per se, but it's the opportunity there to be Lifnei Hashem. So the Mizbeach is unobstructed, because it's on its side, and you're in the Tzafon, so you have more connection. Okay, fine. That is the Chizkuni. The Ramban has a piece where he talks about the Midas Hadin and gets into Darach Emes, okay? You know, the Smol and the Yamin, the Tzafon and the Darm, but that's above my pay grade.
But without the Sod, it makes sense. We know that there's Chashivas to Yamin, Kol Peniel Shal Tapone, is Dafka, Bimin, that's really a Din.
So the question is, which one is Yamin, which one is Smol?
Well, where are you facing?
Are you facing? Am I?
You're meant to be facing the Kodesh HaKadoshim.
Right.
That's your focus.
So then
your
Yamin
is going to be the Tzafon. So that's why even without Kabbalah, your Paniya, that din, it's really a din.
No, it could be.
So you could see that there's Cheshivas to the Tzafon.
Could be.
Even without the Kabbalah.
Could be. Okay. So I think that those two reasons fit nicely for these two views. Now, there's another way to frame the Chakira, slightly different from Chakira, but also related. And it comes from the pasuk that Yair just quoted, because after all, the Torah did not just, and this is where our Gemara is going to come into play, because the Gemara didn't just say Yishecht it b'tzafon. The Gemara specifically said Yishecht it al yerach hamizbeach tzafon. So what exactly is the relationship between al yerach hamizbeach and Tzafono? So here we go from Rabbi Ilan the son to Rabbi Ilan the father. Mordechai Ilan in the Torah Sakodesh has a piece on Tzafon. And he doesn't really do, the way we'll ask the question is this din of Shachting but Tzafon, is it primarily about relating to the Mizbeach or is it relating to the Heichal? The Torah said, Al Yerach HaMizbeach Tzafona Lifnei Hashem. So we're going to focus on the connection to the first half of the pasuk, al yerach hamizbeach tzafona, or we're going to focus on the later half of the pasuk, tzafona lifnei Hashem. So I think that's the second question we can ask with the nature of tzafon. So Rabbi Lam quotes this gemara in Zvachim Chavav Meralef, a funny gemara. The gemara says if you shecht an animal and the animal is suspended in the air, then it's pasul. So I would have thought it's possible because chatzitza or something, but that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says if the animal is suspended, you shach that it's possible because be'inan al yerach hamizbeach tzafona v'leika. So Rabbi Lan asks, is there any relationship? Is there any conceptual relationship between al yerach hamizbeach and tzafona? And the Nafka Mina he presents is l'man damar that im alu yardu for shrit bedarum. We also say him alu yardu for shechting the animal when it is suspended. He quotes a sheet of Gubatsas in Me'ila that thinks that it's part of the din of tzafon. You could ask, you know, the obvious nafkamina would be if you shecht kachay kalim, hanging up, are they going to be possible or not? So that's a question you'd ask. There's a girsa machlokas in the Rambam, whether he sounds like al yarach hamizbeach and tzafona are related. But if we turn away a little bit from al yerach hamizbeach itself, the din of the hanging carbon, and we focus on whether tzafon is about relating to the mizbeach or relating to the heichal, so that can explain very nicely the machlokes in our Gemara. What part of the tzafon is the tzafon? So if you think that it's a din of relating to the mizbeach, al yerach hamizbeach tzafona, and we could then you suggest, that's the middle view, or it was the first view in the Gemara. This is Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, who said you only have the actual band of the north of the mizbeach itself. If you are directly north of the mizbeach, that's acceptable, but otherwise it's going to be pasul. Why? Because you're not north of the Mizbeach anymore, you're somewhere else in the Azara. It's not really a din of Tzafon, the northern half of the Azara. It's about a very specific place. You want a connection, a third option, really understanding Tzafon. You want a connection to the Mizbeach for Kadshei Kadashim, and you only have that if it's in that middle band in and of itself. What then is Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon arguing about when he's Mosef Bein Ha'ulam U'Mizbeach? The easiest way to understand it is he's saying that no, it's Tzafon is not a din in Al Yerach HaMizbeach Tzafona. Tzafon is a din in Tzafona Lifnei Hashem. So if you're on the northern half, and if it's okay, even with the Mizbeach, Kol Shekin, it's going to be okay if you're Bein Ulam U'Mizbeach, which is even closer to the Heichal, a greater level of Kedusha. That's how we'd understand Rabbi Elazar of Rabbi Shimon. And then along comes Rebbe, and Rebbe says you have the whole northern part of the Azara. So Rebbe says, look, Rabbi Elazar of Shimon, I fully agree with you. I totally, absolutely agree that it's a din in Lifnei Hashem. It's not a din in Al Yerach HaMizbeach, it's a din in Tzafona Lifnei Hashem. However, as we just quoted a minute ago from the Chizkuni, the way he's understanding Lifnei Hashem is you need a clean, clear view of the Heichal. You have that if you're very, very close. Baruch Hashem, you have a good ophthalmologist. You have that even if you're a little bit far. You still have a clean, clear view. You do not need very close proximity. So Rebbe can agree to the fundamentals of Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon and say that it's a din in Lifnei Hashem, not a din in Al Yerach HaMizbeach. But he says, I think you have the whole Azara, not just the part which is from the Mizbeach and closest to the
to the Heichal. You have the Tabos in the north and Yishchonos in the north. It's not like it's not totally open in the north. According to Rebbe, you could be shechting.
No, but what do you mean? They daf have those there to facilitate shechita.
Right, so I'm saying it's not like there's nothing blocking your view. Persons on the eastern side of the Azara, I don't know.
It's a little hook.
Yeah, the tables.
Yeah. It's not blocking his view.
I don't know. It's hard to say that's based on Lifnei Hashem. If he goes, he's going the wrong way. He's going the other direction. He's going east. You know.
Also, if it's based on Mizbeach, so wind up in the north of the Mizbeach.
So if you think that it's based on Mizbeach, that probably that view also probably assumes it's a Kfiyas Makom. right? We reserve the location, which is most convenient. If you're in the if you're somewhere else, you have Kohanim who are running up or all around the Kevesh. So the side of the Mizbeach that's right next to the Kevesh, there's no Kohanim running around over there. There's no speaker running over there. So it's the easiest, most convenient location. I think that's probably the Pashtus. It's just an interesting nakud on this last Chakira, kind of getting out of the world of the Lamdish world to the Pshuto Shel Mikra world. But Yoni Grossman in his Vayikra book, so he points out that in the Pesukim themselves, it's kind of funny. The Bakar, the Torah says, actually, do you have the parak open?
I could.
Yeah, so what does the Torah say about the Bakar?
In terms of the Makom Shchita?
Yeah.
V'shachad
ben
Bakar lifnei Hashem.
Yeah, right. So the ben Bakar is v'shachad lifnei Hashem, and the tzon is v'shachad al yarcham mizbeach tzafona lifnei Hashem. See, well, he kind of builds up this whole thing. I thought it was a little weird, but it's an interesting thing about whether Bakar, you know, the cattle focuses on being lifnei Hashem, and tzon focusing more on the mizbeach. So this gets into the machshava realm a little bit, but at least in the thrust of the pshat and the psukim, he thought was more that it's al yarcha mizbeach tafona, but in terms of the Torah Shabbat Bet, since we apply this to Bakar and so on, not sure how compelling it has to be la'alacha, but it's an interesting thing to think about. He's saying the fact that in the Pesukim, lifnei Hashem for the Bakar is not connected to al yarcha mizbeach, and all of a sudden by tzafon we do, so maybe that argues for this being more of a mizbeach din than a heichal lifnei Hashem din, but that's the hara over there. Okay, so that's the first part of the Chabura, the din of Tzafon, the basic nature, is this a Kviyas Makam or is this a Kedusha? And the second level question, is this connecting to the Mizbeach or is it connecting to Lifnei Hashem? And the way we're explaining the difference, and I'm here on Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. So then the Gemara goes on and we talk about Somech, and the Gemara tells you what your vidui is when you're Somech. I put some Smicha Makoros on the sheet just to have. We're not going to focus on that in the Chabura. So the Gemara tells us when you do your vidui, what do you say? Umizvada achatas avon chatas, val asham avon asham. Those are straightforward. Val ola, we have machukas tanoim, avon leket shichu peya. And then maybe Meiser Ani, this whole braigus. Divir b'yosi aglili. So matnos haniyim and Rabbi Kiva Omer in olaba ela ala seiv alosa seish nitzak laase. That's what Rabbi Kiva says. The ola is coming to be mechaper for. So all of this raises the question: what exactly is the kapar of ola that we're talking about in the first place? You know, when I was a kid and read Little Midrash says, so we're told you have your voluntary karbanos, the ola and the shlamim and the mincha, and you have your mandatory sin karbanos, chatas and asham. If you did an avira, you bring a chatas, you bring an asham, you get kapara. What exactly is the kapara of the ola? The Gemara seems to assume over here that exists, but we don't really get into it at all. So this is just, it's a bit of a backdoor, but this Gemara is really one of the super, super central makoros for understanding the Ola, so it's a very good place for us to spend a few minutes to just outline the basic views in the Sugya over here. Because our Gemara, you would really plot, on the graph as one of the pretty extreme marmakomos for assuming that the Ola is machaper and it has like classic kapara like other karbanos. Now the Torah does say, in the context of the carbon ola, v'nirtzolo l'chaper olav, it does mention that one time. On the other hand, we never have phrases like v'nislach lo, like we do for chatas and asham. We're never told he's bringing it for a sin, let alone any particular sin. So what exactly does this v'nirtzolo l'chaper olav mean? So our Gemara, just if you take it at face value, seems to be treating this, in the same breath as chatas and asham. You have different karbanos that you bring, and they atone for different averos. If you saw the Tosos here, so Tosos asked about other lavin. The Gemara mentioned lav shenit lase and anase. So Tosos asked, well, what about other lavin that don't have malkos? Lav shebachlalos, lav she ein bo masa. Tosos said, I found this on the Bar Ilan, like a Rabbeinu Tam was a similar idea somewhere else, that v'nirtzalo mashma sheyeshlo takana v'ritzoi b'makom acher. Now, apparently there was some other option that he had. V'nirtzalo means that he got the ritzoi from this. So instead of the ritzoi from the asei, he gets the ritzoi and the takana from bringing the karban ola. And then Tosa continues, and Tosa says that for chayve misos and chayve kresos and chayve lavin, you also get kapara from the karban ola, but they also get kapara from their punishment. It sounds like we're saying you get kapara from the ola, just if it's a really severe avera, that kapara is insufficient and onesh is still required. You have a lighter avera, and a lighter avera which you could have fixed by doing something else, so the kapara of the ola will fully cover you. So, you know, it's like you get lunch money. You get $20 of lunch money, and if you want to buy something very expensive, so you're going to run out of money. If you don't, then it'll cover you. But fundamentally, you're being given lunch money, you're being given a kapara, and then it's just a question of the chumrah, of the chad itself. Right? That's what Tos seems to be saying, and that certainly seems to be the mashmos of our Gemara in and of itself. The problem is that there are a number of other indications that the ola is not a machaper, at least in the same way as the Chatas Niyasham, and maybe not at all. So just the quick, greatest hits, the Mishnayos and Zvachim, which you put on the Marmokomos. So the first Mishnah in Zvachim, the Mishnah there says, all Karbonos Yishach Shalol Lishma are Kasher V'lo Al Lubaylim, except for the Karbon Pesach, which we talked about last year, and the Karbon Chatas, Shachta Shalol Lishma is Pasol. Along comes Rabbi Eliezer, and Eliezer says, ah, you forgot something. Not only is the Karbon Chatas Pasol Shalol Lishma, the Karbon Ashem is Pasol Shalol Lishma as well. So what clearly is the thinking of Rabbi Eliezer? He's saying, if the Karbon is brought for an Avera, and it's not Mechaper, so you have a zero. So if it's there's nothing for the Chatas, what does Kashvelo Allah even mean? It's nothing. It was brought for atonement. It didn't atone. So the Chatas is a zilcho. The Ashem is also a zilcho. But even Rabbi Eliezer never says that an ola, the Yishach Tashol Lishma, is pasul. So clearly Rabbi Eliezer is not focused on the kapara of ola in the same way he's focused on the kapara of Chatas and Ashem. The Mishnah on Mem Vav Amud Beis in Zvachim tells you all the extensive things you need to have in mind when you're shechting a karban. It has to be for the what karban it is, who the person is, l'shem ishim, l'shem reach, l'shem nichach, l'shem Hashem. And then the Mishnah says, if it's a chadas or an ashan, there's another thing you have to have in mind, l'shem chet. So you're going to go out for a chadas, because the guy ate chaylev, so you have to have in mind, this is being brought for as chaylev. You have an ashan talui, because he's not sure if he ate the chaylev, so Kohen has to say, I'm shechting this for the guy who's not sure if he ate chaylev, that's why he's bringing his ashan talui. You have to have the sin in mind. Crickets. No mentioning, no indication whatsoever for a karban ola that you need to have a specific chet. Why not? If the guy, you know, he said he violated a law of Shinizat Lasei, so he brings an ola. He's saying vidui for that, I'll PR Gemar over here. Why doesn't the Kohen have to say, ah, and he's bringing this because of this law of Shinizat Lasei that he failed to observe. It's not there. Later on, the Mishnayos and Kol Tadir, so the Mishnayos talk about what precedes what, and if you have Dam Chatos and Dam Ola next to each other, so which one is going to be brought on the Mizbeach first? So the Mishnah says you bring the Dam Chatos first because it is a Meratzeh. When the Ola is not a Meratzeh, you're saying, the Torah said, V'nir Tzolo L'chaper Olav. Well, apparently not, because the Mishnah assumes one is a Meratzeh, one is not a Meratzeh. There are other Gemaras as well, but just one Mishnah that we should mention. It's in our Masechta. So the Mishnah on Hey Hey Mebeis, I think, right? In the Tshuva days, towards the end of the Masechta. So the Mishnah says, Chata so Ashen Vadai Mechaprin. Misav Yom HaKippur Mechaprin in Matshuva. Etc., etc., etc. And the Mishnah goes on to talk about the different kaparas you get from Tshuva, Yom Kippur, Chatos, and Asham. One carbon's not mentioned, the carbon ola. Why not mention that the carbon ola is a mechaper? It's just not there in the Mishnah. And then the most just blatant Gemara we got to mention, there are others, but Rava and Zvachim, Zayin and Mebeis, this is the most famous one. So Rava says the ola is a doron, the ola is a gift. He says, after all, what kapara do you get from the ola? The ola is for Essen. So the Mishnah says, you did tshuva, instant kapara. You didn't do tshuva, zevach reshoim toeva. So what is the ola doing for you? Rather, he says, it's a doron be'alma. The Gemara Chulin and Heme Beis has the same line about the ola being a doron, being a gift, and the Gemara there applies in the context of mumar. The Gemara says, you would have a havamina when we say we do not accept the karbanos of mumar. We learn that from Pesukim and Yechazkel. So you might have thought that's only the case if it's his chatas. But you could take as Ola, because Ola is a Darim Ba'alma. And no, say no, we do not take Karbanos from a Mumar Kihuzeh. But the Gemara said, you might have thought that a Chatas is a bigger problem, because it's for Kapara, while the Ola is a Doron Ba'alma. So, you know, a man wants to bring a Doron Ba'alma, he's a Mumar, we'll take it. Why not? You know, we bring, Goyim can bring Karban Ola. We're pretty liberal with who we take Karban Ola from. So why not? Ola, Doron, who? Okay. So, you have this different indications. Our Gemara is, you know, on the radical pole on the other side. There are a couple of other Gemaras as well, but at least for now, I think that's enough of a quick survey. So when we cover this with Rosenzweig in the famous Kew Gardens summer kolo of 2010, the epic kolo there for a month. So he talked with us. He also has an article written up on the topic. Rav Lechstein has an article on the topic. Now there apparently is the base Yischak. You mentioned, right, with the sin, those you quoted. Yes. Hirsch talks about this, Grossen in that piece, as in the Ola. He also thought everyone's in on this. So let's, you know, sketch out the basic options and then the core mahalach. So Rosenzweig, Rivilan also quotes this as well, some of the more out there Rishonim. So probably the most radical line in the Rishonim who thinks that the Ola is not a Machaper, which is, I guess, going to just have to say there's a Machlokas HaSugyas. What to do with our Gemara, I have no idea, is the Rush in Nazir, and Daf Yud Tess, I think. And the Rush in Nazir says a line, he says, Ola Doron, Ve'ina Mechaperes B'Shum Makom. And that's pretty hardcore. It does not get more hardcore than that. There's an officially licensed Rush in Meseches Nazir. One level down from that is Tosos and Bava Basra, which I think I did put on the Marmakomos, so I think it's enough Memches, who says the Ola is Mechaper, that's why we do mention it in our Gemara, but it's Mechaper, Mikufya, there's some sort of Derech Agav floating Kapara. Tosos doesn't really explain what he means. It could align with what we'll say in a few minutes. Doesn't really seem like it, to be honest. But he's some minimal kapar from the Ola. That's how the Balei Tosfos tried to square the circle over here. I think that in the Moshe of Zakenim, that Rosenzweig quoted, which also I put down the Ramakomos, he's uncomfortable with the kapar. So that's one pull. Right? The hardcore, no kapara at all. On the other side, probably the Rishon, who is the most radical in his enthusiasm for Kaparas Ola, is the Ramban. Now, there's the famous Ramban. Rosenzweig quotes a few other Rambans as well. The famous Ramban is the one where he goes after the Rambam in terms of the Tamei Mitzvos. And the Rambam says that the reason for Karbanos, the whole Avodah Zara story, which we all know, and the Rambam has, you know, the two different Mornevuchims, the animal, the specific animals versus idolatry in general. Okay, fine. The Ramban says he's not having anything. And he says, no, the reason for a Karban is, you bring the Karban, you see the animal being burned, you see the flesh shriveling up and burning and charcoaling, and you smell the smoke, you see it all going up in flames. You know, in the afternoons we talked about the Kavana you're supposed to have when you say Shema Yisrael. Allah is, you're supposed to have in mind Kiddush Hashem. You say Shema Yisrael twice a day, you have mine. Right? If they throw me into a burning fire, I'll do that Kiddush Hashem. You have to have that in mind twice a day. So the Ramban says, you see this happening before your eyes and you bring your karban, and you say, you know, there but for the grace of God go I, literally, because I violated Averos, and Hashem has infinite Rahmanas, and instead of me being burnt, this karban I bring is being burnt instead, and that is going to trigger that I should do tshuva. That is how the Ramban explains Karbanos. Now that explanation, which the Rav in the end of Halachic Mind, when he talks about, you know, like the good Tamei Mitzvos and the bad Tamei Mitzvos, so he's like, you know, all in on this Ramban over here, the internal versus the external systems for thinking of Mitzvos. But this Ramban clearly is thinking of the Ola as like not only a sin offering, but even the quintessential Mechaper. The Ramban is trying to explain Kapara and Karbanos, and he says, you see it being burned, and that compels you to do tshuva. That's not really so relevant. It is relevant in a manner of speaking, because there is a haktara for the chatas and the asham, but the karban the Ramban is talking about there is the karban ola. You see the animal being burnt, and you think that could be you. So Rosenzweig points out that there are other Rambans who go in this direction as well. One, who would have found on my own? One, I definitely would not. So the Ramban in Shorash Yud Beis So he's talking about, that's the different components, Shoresh. So the Ramban has a line there. He says, V'zesh anachnes tavinu l'hakriv al kitsas hachatoyim chatas v'al kitsasam asham v'al kitsasam ola umehem gam kein mincha v'chulei. That sounds it. You have a bunch of sins. Some of them bring a chatas. Some of them we bring an asham. Some of them we bring an ola. Once again, the Ramban is very comfortable talking about the ola in terms of kapara. And the other one, the Ramban quotes, this is, if you saw the Ritva in our Gemara, which I should turn back to. So the Ritva references this Ramban as well, in an interesting and important way. So the Ramban is grappling with the same issue the Bali Tosos are grappling with. What exactly are the karbanos which get kapara? So the Taras Kohanim, which Rashi Alatar quotes, says, which ones? We got to play process of elimination. You want to talk about Chayve, Misos, and Krisos, Harei On Shanamur. That's already covered. You want to talk about Chayve, Lavin, Harei On Shanamur. You violate a lav, you get Malkos. It can't be. You bring an Ola instead. So it must be that it's for Lav Shinik La'aseh and Bittel Essin. Just process of elimination, we try to check off what is the kapara for every aveira. Some the kapara is asham, some the kapara is chatas, some the kapara is misa, kares, malkos, and then whatever's left over, the bottom of the pile, gets to ola. All right, so that Taras Kohanim sounds like we're talking about this as a classic machaper in the same vein as our Gemara. So the Ramban asks, well, hold on a second. There's another.
Where is this Ramban? This one.
This Ramban is Aleph Dalet. This one is Veneer Tzol Chaper Aleph, which I think is Aleph Dalet. So the Ramban asks, well, there are other karbanos which are there are other sins left unclaimed as well. Most prominently, if somebody sins b'mezid, somebody sins b'shogig on a lav, krisos for a lav, krisos b'shogig yevachatas. So why not say lavin? B'shogig, you get nola. So Ramban says, his first answer, it must be, there's no nisius chait for a lav b'shkaga. Which is a very interesting line. What exactly does it mean, no nisius chait? Read literally, it means there's no bearing of sin. And it sounds like the Ramban is forced to answer, if you're really hardcore on the kapara of ola, say, well, we're just playing process of elimination, so it must be the reason why there's no ola for lavin bishkaga is the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't hold you against it at all. You violate misa or kares bishogeg, that's very unfortunate. You have to bring karban chatas. A lav bishogeg, okay, it's a freebie. No nesias chet at all, and that's why it's not included. It's a pretty radical line. If you look in the Ritva over here, so the Ritva is working within the exact same Mahalach, but he totally waters it down. I don't know if they have one over here. I left mine in Ida Crown. But he changes it from Nesias Chait to there's no Onesh. There's no Onesh. There's no consequence. It doesn't mean you didn't do anything wrong, but we're determining what you did wrong was not bad enough to have to bring any carbon. That would be too much kapara for a lav bishkaga. So that's just an interesting nuance on this question of nisius chet that the Ramban has over there. But once again, this is the third time in a row where the Ramban is emphasizing the ola as a machaper. So it's a machaper, process of elimination to figure out what it's machaper for. And if it's not machaper for lav bishkaga, it must be because those don't really need kapara at all. But then the Ramban continues, and he has another option that he raises to explain why it is that the Ola is only Machaper for Essen and Lav Shnitak La'aseh and not for a Lav Bishkaga. And this can begin to point the needle towards a different form of Kapara entirely. And he says, well, it could be, let's emphasize this line, V'nirtzelo L'chaper Lav. It could be that the Ola is needed for somebody who is not Ratsui in front of Hashem. We're not calling him a sinner per se, but the relationship is not what it needs to be. He is not Ratsui. So he's not Ratsui. Is that somebody who's violating, who's negligent in his essen? His essen he's been negligent in, that renders him not Ratsui, and so he brings the Ola instead. That Ramban does not talk about the nature of the Kapara being different, but by focusing on this idea of Ratsui, that can help shift our focus, even if it doesn't shift the focus of the Ramban. So now we'll shift to the just in like one Rav Lechitz in his piece just has the most efficient marshaling of some of the really interesting makoros for Ola, which indicate that this is not a classic machaper at all. Number one, the Ola is machaper for multiple averos. Normally, you sin, you bring a carbon. It's the whole din of chatas. Halam echad, shtei halamos, the whole extensive discussion. How to define one maisa. The assumption is one maisa avera, one kapara, one carbon. And then we have a lot of fun defining what's a maisa avera and what's not. But there's no question that one maisa avera to one carbon ratio. Except carbon ola, all of a sudden, you have a whole laundry list of averos. So all of a sudden, different maisa, different chat, even sins even. You know, avos malachos, so the whole you can't have one chatas for one totally different avera and the same chatas for a totally different avera. No way. Ola, multiple sins, multiple categories of sin, even kapara for essen. What does it mean kapara for essen? You didn't do an essay. You need kapara for that. It's a very strange idea. The ola, it's mechaper for mezidin. By and large, with a couple of exceptions, which even there are interesting, in the world of Ashamos, where you have to do something else as well, by and large, Kabanos do not atone for mandatory sins. By and large, Kabanos there for Shigagos. Mezidin? And then the Yerushalmi says that the ola is mechaper for herhure avera. Herhure, what's the avera? Herhure avera, you don't do them, but that's not a, by definition, herhuri avera are not a maisa avera, by definition. And the most radical one is the Gemara has a discussion about the ola being able to be machaper potentially for esin la'achar hafrasha. You designated the ola, and then somehow, I appreciate this, anybody who's ever come late and needs to jump onto the plane or the train, whatever, we've all been there. But once the plane has left the gate, even the hardest core among us cannot get on the airplane. And the train's out of the station, you can't get on the train. So the guy's been mafresh as ola. How on earth can subsequent averos to the hafrasha still get somehow chopped into this carbon? And you put that together with all of the makoros we saw before, which seem to downplay the nature of the ola as a machaper, it is very hard to defend the idea that this is a classic machaper. On the other hand, it's also very hard to defend the view of the Rush. After all, the Torah did say, "V'nirtzelo lechaper alav." We do have our Gemara, which is saying there's a vidui that you do say. So what exactly is going on? So what Rav Lechazi says, Rosenzweig says, Rav Hirsch, the Beis Yitzchak now, Baruch Shem, Yoni Grossman, who I was annoyed why I didn't quote any of the halacha and all this, because there's a lot of it, but whatever. So they all say that what's happening here is the ola is not machaper in the classical sense. Normally, you have a sin, so you bring a carbon to atone for your sin. The avera is focused on the chet. But it's clear that the ola is not focused on the chet. After all, there's no l'shem chet. Right? All the lishmas are in the chefts of the carbon. The carbon itself is not focused on any particular chet. There's no l'shem chet, lachar hafrasha, multiple avera. If that ola was covering, one oil carbon, that would be a very bifurcated carbon ola. Elamai, what's happening here is, this is a totally different form of kapara. We call kaparas hagavra. The person has been negligent in his essen. That has left him, as the Ramban had said, in a state of distance from the Ribbono Shel Olam. So he could have had that relationship by doing his mitzvos, by doing his essen. Instead, what does he do? He takes a different step. Instead of doing the mitzvos asay, he does a parallel positive action, right, of giving a carbon ola. So he could have done lulav and esrog. Instead, he does something else, the generic activity of Hashem, I missed that chance, but I give you a carbon ola, this whole idea of kaparas hagavra. If you look in Rosenzweig's piece, he talks about, he does a lot of the heavy lifting in the Rambam, which we're not going to do right now because we're not learning Masach HaZvachim, but I highly recommend looking at it. But it's one interesting piece which is a little bit germane to us, because our Gemara talked about the vidui for Asham, the vidui for Chatas, and the vidui for Ola. So there's one major category of carbon which is not mentioned in our Gemara, and that is the carbon shlamim, right? So what's the story with the carbon shlamim? So there are a couple of Rishonim. Here the Minchas Avraham actually quotes them. There's a Tosri Lavan, there's a Meiri. There are a couple of Rishonim, I think a Rashi Mishantz, who think that you say vidui for a carbon shlamim. I have no idea what vidui you say for the carbon shlamim. But that's what a couple of them say. You look in the Rambam, and the Rambam is kind of funny. So the Rambam says, this is passing our Gemara, right? So the Rambam passing is like Rabbi Akiva. He says, Essen and Lav Shnitzah Glase, although Rabbi Lachasin points out that the Rambam changes the Lashon a little bit, because Rabbi Akiva, I think the Rambam adds in the line of mitzvah, if you look there in the Rambam. But anyway, after the Rambam says, Asham Avon, Asham Chatas Avon, Asham Ola is for Asen and Lashnik Asen. So the Ramban says, and Nirali, it seems to me that the Shlomim. What? Rambam. The Rambam, yeah. The Rambam Maisa Karbana, sorry, Paragimel. Lachatas Vav, I think. He says, Yirali, or Yirali, say, as the technical way to analyze it, that a Shlomim, you don't say Vidui, rather you just say Shir Sushbachos. So Rosenzweig just asked, why, the Rambam is a pretty confident person, by and large. And when he says Yira Ali, so that always means he's going out on a limb. And he's saying something a little bit surprising without any clear source. So he just asked, why did the Rambam need to defend himself with the Yira Ali that you do not say Vidui on Eshlamim? Yira Ali, to say Vidui on Eshlamim, that I understand. That would be a big chiddush. I have no idea what the Vidui is you say on Eshlamim. The Rambam has had so many bigger chidushim in his life than to say that you don't say vidui on a shlamim. Why does he need to preface that with a yira'ali? And at least the way I have written down in my notes from back in the day, is he says that the Ramban, the Rambam was shaken by the carbon ola. Once we have kapara for a carbon ola, and if we assume this kapara is a kapara sagavra, well, then kind of all bets are out the window. If the carbon ola is being misaking the yichus between the Bailim and the Ribbono Shalom, and thereby achieving kapara, it no longer is so crazy for the same to obtain by the carbon shlamim. So in a world where we did not have our Gemara, and you only had Avon Chatas and Avon Asham, I would have said for sure, I'm not even going to sweat the question of carbon shlamim. But once we've introduced this new kapara of ola, this new totally different category of kapara, kapara sagavra, rather than the particular kapara for a chet, then kind of all bets are off. You've all of a sudden opened yourself out to the Wild West, and it very well could have been that the carbon shlamim could achieve the same kapara as well. Why not? The shlamim is also there to affect the relationship between man and the Baruch Shalom. So I thought the same kapara is going to apply there as well. And the Rambam has to say, Yira Ali, that no, that's not the case. They're operating in different veins. The Ola is there. It's the person's surrender to Hashem. It's the person's activity, the person's gift that he wants to give. And by giving, he's making up what he didn't do before. The Shlamim is not, giving per se. The Shlamim is just creating a relationship. It's a Shutfis. And that's not achieving any kapara at all. But I thought it's a very important point. Once you've opened up this new idea of kapara sagavra, all of a sudden the Rambam needs to defend why that wouldn't apply to carbon shlum. Just
isn't it more intuitive to say Yira Ali is being mechadesh that you say shiros and tishvachos? How often does the Rambam make a bahalacha?
Interesting. I wonder what's his source for that. I wonder what they say inside there.
Could be. Is there so much at even for that? Is there so much at stake though?
So you have to track your early in Rambam. Yeah. But if the idea is the Rambam is making up things without makoros, so to have like a certain interpretation of the primary evidence isn't a year early, but to make up shiros and shpachos.
Could. It could be. I'm not really sure that's enough. Like, he zucks him to Tehillim is what he's saying, right? Like, is there enough there? And if in the language he has, like, he doesn't even put invest in that. You sing something.
Does the Gemara say what you say when you do Pai Torah?
I don't think so. No. It's a bit of a myth, right? That there's an open Gemara that is brought for four things. And that's...
I think it's a Rashi and Brachos.
That's exactly. Arba Tzrich and Lahodos, which then Rashi says, that connects to the Karban Toda. But it's not like there's a Gemara which says there are four people who need to bring a Karban Toda. Exactly. So I hear the argument. I think that's what he probably would push back. It's like Zag Tehillim. I'm not sure that's enough to get a Yirayli. The Ram, just for example, he doesn't mention the Ola and Hilchos Tshuva. He doesn't mention the Ola and Hilchos Shagagos. Mumer Lo Sudavar is only a problem by Chatas and Ashams. But do the legwork in the Rambam, and then in light of that, see where this fits in. Okay, so we're going over time, so let's just do this last topic, and the topic of vidui, which comes up on Lamed Vav Mebeis, because we've had a lot of general kachim stuff, and so here is an important thing in the world of Yuma, per se. So, Minchas Avram had a nice feast on the vidui, which the Kohen Gadol is saying as he comes with his par. Anashem, Pashati, Avisi, Chatasi, and then what exactly the order of them is. Okay, fine. Later on in the Masechta, we'll talk about the question of the Hashem and the Hashtach Havayos, and the Baruch Shem Solomad. Not for now, but just one very important right now. So, Hilchos Avraham asks a nice question. This is, if you look at the Ram, in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, so I know what I need to have in a vidui. Now, vidui, it's not enough to just say I sinned. You need the elements of tshuva. Charata al ha'avar, v'kabal al ha'asid. But for whatever reason, neither one of those appears anywhere in the vidui, the Kohen Gadol, says on Yom Kippur. And if you look in the Rambam, Maaser Karbanos, Gimel, I think Yud Dalet it was, doesn't really seem to be there either. So, why? So, Bichas Avram, he gets you halfway. So, this is clearly... There are two different viduim. There's clearly a vidui of tshuva, and then there's another vidui. He just calls it a vidui of Yom Kippur or a vidui of Karbanos. He doesn't explain what's going on, but he just raises our awareness that once we have a vidui out there, which does not have the key elements of tshuva, so it's clear that it's not a vidui of tshuva. He does not explain what that is. So to explain what exactly that is, we have to go to the different place where the Rav talks with this.
How did he not have that?
Get him in Ingersa Grid. Get him in Ala Tshuva. Get him in Ala Tshuva.
Sponsor one of the male. Seriously.
Wait, I don't know if this is special or not. Like, does the Mechas Avraham have a relationship to Bris?
He quotes Moshe Salvechik. He's a Talmud of Rav Barrel. Sound of rebel. Maybe as a kid in the Brisk Rav. It's a little unclear. I think he was like there for like 5 minutes as a kid. But his more of a rabbi is a rebel Slavichuk. We'll quote in a minute. But he quotes Rebbe Moshe Slavichuk all the time. At times he quotes him, as we've seen in places where in the Ksavim they say that the Grizz said in the name of somebody, and they don't say who it was. And you go to Mechas Avram, and he says, yeah, the Grizz quoted this from his brother Moshe Slavichuk. So anyway, I'm sure he'd appreciate to know about this. His rabbiton was very, very nice when we went there to Weiss Farm.
You know where he lives?
We went to his house.
In Bnei Brak?
No, Yerushalayim.
He lives in Yerushalayim?
You have this, the old ones used to have his address in the book.
I thought it says he gives you a name, Bnei Brak.
He commutes.
Really?
Yeah, no, we went to his house. His house, I forget which neighborhood, but we, it was fun. It was a fun trip for another time. So the Rav... You have to kind of put the pieces together from the Igos HaGrid and from Ala Tshuva. And interestingly, he kind of actually gives you more meat on the bones in the Ala Tshuva piece. He says there's definitely a vidui of Tshuva. But the other vidui, the vidui we have here for Yom Kippur, is what he calls a vidui of Kapara. In other words, part of your process, besides just regretting what you did, it's not enough to just regret what you did. There are positive stakes you need, steps you need to take. Kapara involves an action. There's something that you actually do. The vidui here on Yom Kippur, the vidui for the guy who's bringing the karban, is a vidui of kapara. I've already expressed my regret, and the Rama movingly talks in Ala Tshuva of what a process that is. It's a long process to build up to the tshuva. He says the guy who's bringing a karban, he got to that point a long time ago. The regret built up when he saved up the money to buy the carbon, schlep the carbon all the way to Yerushalayim. It's not like he's waking up now and first expressing thoughts of tshuva and regret when he first gets into Beis HaMikdash. It has been a weeks, if not months long process for him to get to this point where he is bringing a carbon. What's happening now is a different step entirely. Now, as he brings the carbon, there is a positive action. We can call the vidui of tshuva like a negative vidui, a siluk, as it were. And then the vidui of kapara is the positive vidui, as he's trying to rebuild the relationship. There's nothing to do with rugerva here. He says, on Yom Kippur, what, the Kohen Gadol is going to do tshuva for all Klal Yisrael? What does it even mean? He's going to say, everyone here, the whole tzibur, who I don't know from a hole in the wall, really regrets what they've done, and they've all been makabel on themselves not to do it in the future. That doesn't make any sense.
He says, can't do that like day shliach.
Exactly.
It's essential.
So what's the Kohen Gadol doing? What's he doing? This vidui, all the Klal Yisrael, avu pashucha. What is the point of that? He has no idea what their mental state is. So he says, no, there are two totally different viduyim, and the vidui in Karbanos is not a vidui of tshuva. That vidui should have happened a long time ago. Rather, there's a second category, a vidui which is a ma'isa machaper and a ritui. Okay. Fine. So that's one very, very important point. Just two others, hashadah sin lahachi, that the minchas of Ram Kotz, which I think were very helpful to think about. So he quotes his Baruch Soloveitchik, who asks about that Rambam in we have that Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva. And the Rambam says if somebody brings a chatas or an asham, so if he wants kapara, he needs to do tshuva. So the problem is, what exactly does that mean? Normally, we would assume that means zevach rishoyim toeva. Problem is, the Rambam says in Maaser Karbanos Gimel Beis, ein mekablin carbon from a mumar. So the guy's a mumar l'chol tar kula, he's a mumar l'shabbos, he's a mumar l'avodah zara. So then ein mekablin mimenu. Ein mekablin mimenu means if he brings it anyway, the carbon is dead. So what exactly is the difference between ein mekablin mimenu and ma'aser karbanos gimel beis and lo shav, where it's over here? What exactly is the difference? Seems clear there's a difference. So he doesn't really explain what the difference is. There's clearly a difference between these two. He then quotes the Griz, who brings another makar, and this will just help clean it all up. The Rambam in Shkagos and Gimel Yud says if somebody brings a chatas, let's say, but he's mivait bekapara, he says, I don't think this achieves any kapara at all. But they want me to bring it, so I'm going to bring it. I'll make my parents happy. I'll bring the chatas, but I disregard the whole kapara that it has. So the Rambam says there's no kapara, and you got to bring a new one afterwards. So what is the difference? You have to bring a new mevayit. You have to bring a new one afterwards. Why not just say, well, the man clearly didn't do tshuva, so why not just say zevach rishoyim toeva? So what seems clear, he says, is that there are two different things entirely we can mean when we throw around this term zevach rishoyim toeva. We can talk about zevach rishoyim toeva as mamish a psul chafza. The carbon is pasul. If the guy is a mumar, ein mekablin mimenu, he has a shame rasha, and he is pasul. By Rav Barrel, he was quoting the Rambam's Hilchos Eidus. You only have a shame rasha if you violate lavin. You only have a shame mumar l'chol tar kula if you violate Shabbos or avodah zarah. But the Rambam in Tshuva Aleph, any avera was going to be a problem. So no. You want a psul chafza of zevach sham toeva, you need the guy who's a mumar. You need the guy who's mevait bekapara. You have someone else, who the Rambam is talking about, Shuva Aleph Aleph, who is not mevait bekapara. He says, I'm fully aware. The chavas is being brought for kapara. Maybe I would like to do tshuva, but he's not at the madrega of, checking off all 10 prakam of Hilchos Tshuva, of checking off all, 20 things that the Rabbeinu Yona mentions in the Shaarei Tshuva. He's bringing a carbon, but he's like regular, many, many regular Jews. Let's be honest, probably all of us, even when we come to Yom Kippur, we have not checked off all the Tshuva boxes. We'd like to repent, but Lamaisa, can he really look you in the eye? He brings the carbon. Can he look you in the eye and say, I am never going to do this ever again? No, he's not really been makabel lasid to never do it whatsoever. He has not plumbed the depths of his charata al ha'avar.
It's mediocre tshuva, not just tshuva.
Mediocre tshuva, and maybe it's not even. He'd like to do, one of our rabbis once talked to people who learn, people who want to learn, and people who want to learn. So he wants to do tshuva, maybe. And he wants a tshuva. He wants to want to do tshuva. He's not mevayit be'kabeh. He brings the carbon because that's what he knows he's supposed to do. So that's what the Rambam is talking about in tshuva aleph aleph. Says the Brisker Rav, in that case, it's not. We maybe will use the term zevach Hashem Toeva. You know, that's interesting to kind of pursue whether we will or not. But that's not the carbon's not possible. When he does tshuva subsequently, he's good to go. He doesn't need to bring another carbon after that. You know, he really regrets his chaylev consumption afterwards. He doesn't need to bring a new carbon chatas. The carbon chatas was kasher. It wasn't psula magdashin. Rather, the kapara from it is taloi v'yomid until he actually does tshuva. And that's the suggestion that they want to make. So we have this like basic split in terms of the Rishon we're dealing with over here, and the Rambam in Tshuva Aleph Aleph is dealing with one, and the Rambam in Meister Kabanos and the Rambam in Shkagos is dealing with a different one. The Rambam Savram then says, I thought this was a nice point he had, says this can maybe explain a funny line that Mishnah had on Pehe and Beis. So we mentioned that Mishnah before, where the Mishnah said, Chatasu Asham Vade Mechaprin, Misav Yom Kippur Mechaprin Im Hatshuva. So why does the Mishnah need to link Chat? Why are Misa and Yom Kippur linked with Tshuva, but Chatas and Asham are not? I mean, after all, the Rambam did say black on white, you don't get Kapara from the Chatas or Asham unless you also did Tshuva. That's what he said, Tshuva Aleph Aleph. So what is the difference? Why is Tshuva linked to Yom Kippur and to Misa, but it's not linked to Chatas and to Asham? So Menachas Avram suggests maybe Chatas and Asham, so you know, they'll achieve that kind of placeholder kapara. You had the Mechaper, you had the Maisa Mechaper of the Chatas and Asham. Its efficacy is Talavi Omid until you do tshuva. But once the guy finally, you know, he brought a kasher carbon. It wasn't possible. It wasn't ever Hashem Toeva. He brought a kasher carbon. Once he gets his act together in a spiritual life and he does full tshuva subsequently, now the slate is clear. He's pulled it off. He says that is different from Misa and Yom Kippur. You can't say I had Yom Kippur and then I come back in Shvat and I do tshuva. Yom Kippur only works if you have tshuva b'shas Yom Kippur. You know, just like there's no tshuva la'achar Misa. If you did tshuva when you die, you're good to go. You can't do tshuva after you're dead. Similarly, Yom Kippur in and of itself without tshuva is nothing. Chatas and Asham without tshuva, again, as long as the guy's not a mevayit, he's not a mumar, you have a maisa mechaper, and now you wait for the subsequent tshuva. They said, maybe that's why Yom Kippur, without tshuva, Yom Kippur itself is a zero, and when the guy comes back, and Shvat comes back, and Adar, we'll tell him, we appreciate your tshuva, your kapar very much, but we require you to wait until next year's Yom Kippur. Now, just one last point that I forgot, just to apropos of that, the Rav, when he's talking about the difference in these two vidui, the vidui of tshuva and the vidui of kapara, he says, the fact that the vidui in Yom Kippur is not a vidui of regret, it's a vidui of trying to come close to Hashem, that explains why we say vidui not only for the sins of this past year, but the sins of previous years. Why do we do that? Since the vidui was all about just atonement and wiping away guilt, the guilt was wiped away a year ago. It was wiped away 2 years ago. Why do you have to go back into the depths of history to dig up old things that you already atoned for? And so the Rav says, no, it's because the vidui of Yom Kippur is one where you're trying to rebuild a relationship. So you say, you know, Hashem, I so appreciate all the kapara that you give me, and I'm just going to mention all the things I ever did wrong, and you're going to forgive me, and we're going to come into a new year. So that's one point out of that. So good chabur, we talked about tzafon at length. I don't want to recap this a lot. We talked about Ola and vidui. Shkach.